Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here. Can you grab my hearing aid real quick, Phil? Here on May 7th, 2018, 2019, excuse me, and I'm your host for this evening. Where is it? Sorry about that. But I don't know if it's on the floor. If it. I'm so glad you could join me tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be joining the broadcast. Whether it be on your computer. You know, if you're real old school and you got a desktop. Annie, when did you have your last desktop? No desktop that you ever had.
7 years ago,
I think I was ahead of you on that one. Like 2008, that one was shot. I mean, like it was done for. But yeah, desktops, they're about done. Do you see anyone having them anymore, or not really? Not too many that you know of. Well, those of you who have desktops, I hope they're still working out. Because they're going the way of the dinosaur. Extinct. Maybe someday they'll make a comeback. Kind of like how records are making a comeback. Haven't some of the new albums that have come out actually been brought out on records now? Some of the new ones? Or is it still just mainly as a collector thing and in record stores? Remember us, I'm so glad you could join the show, wherever and however you may be accessing it tonight on the web. And I know that God has a blessing for you. If only you will let Him bless you and do what He asks. We're going to get into the Word in a little bit. But first, we're going to break the ice a little bit. Speaking of ice, I have with me the best soda on the planet. I should make a disclaimer. This is not a fact. This only reflects the view of the Miracle Man. Kind of like how you'll hear on other ads, it's the opposite, you know? The views here do not necessarily represent the views of the station or whatever, you know. as I would say, the views expressed here about Coca-Cola do in fact reflect the views of the Miracle Man. However, you are entitled to your own views as far as what the best soda is if you drink it. But in my view, Coca-Cola is the best soft drink. Now, it's quite a bit better than Dr. Pepper. Now, Dr. Pepper is still pretty good. Mountain Dew's pretty good. Sprite, still pretty good. Root beer, you know, Barks Mug, no, Barks A&W Mug. The first two are really, are pretty to really good. The other, the last one, Mug, is just okay. And then Pepsi, in my mind, nah, you don't got it. You don't got it. You do got it, though, if you're drinking a Coca-Cola. But the guy who helped me create the show, Preacher Man, / producer, the soda war was originally meant to be Coke versus Dr. Pepper, not Coke versus Pepsi. So I just figured I should make that disclaimer. And as far as Dr. Pepper goes, Coke is still a lot better. And if you're a Pepsi drinker, like one of my assistants is, I'm coming after you. Chill out. I'm not gonna really go after you. I'm just being funny. Maybe someday you'll see through it and you'll find Coke's the winner. You know, years ago I actually did convert someone to drink Coca-Cola. That was a former pretty good Pepsi fan. Bonnie Patricevic's sister. One of her many sisters and brothers. One of her sisters. Her name was Joanne. Used to be a pretty big Pepsi fan. We did a thing for her when she was working with me when she first started helping me out, back in 2005. We did a little thing, tried to trick her. One bottle was a bottle of water, a single bottle of water, which I didn't like, still don't like. And then the Coca-Cola, which had the CLO cap on it, because at the time they were doing a certain contest. They had to look under the cap to see whether or not you'd want a free soda. Annie, what do you think she chose? Annie, do you think she chose the Coke? Well, Annie chose, Joanne chose the Coke. And then, days later, informed me that she had wanted to drink a Pepsi, and the Pepsi did not drink the spot. Want to drink a Coke? The Coke did hit the spot. And she also informed me that Coke was now her favorite soda. And there goes the story. And by the way, McDonald's and Checkers Rallies both have any size soft drink for a dollar going at this point. Speedway, I think they might be doing it, but they have contracts with both Coke and Pepsi. That I know of, I don't know of any place that has dollar sodas that exclusively serves Pepsi products. Excluding gas stations, it's outnumbered 2-0, baby. I'm sure there are places, though, possibly in America, that are doing dollar Pepsis. But sometimes they see the say the best things in life cost more. In some cases, that's true. In other cases, not so much. Like I said, there are two places I know of that are doing the dollar Coke. Three, if you include Speedway. By the way, they're the only one doing dollar Pepsi. And at McDonald's, you can come and get your any size Coca-Cola or your Dr. Pepper or anything else. But you won't find a Pepsi here at McDonald's. You won't find a Pepsi. Yeah, I know. I just had to get that off my chest. Okay. Anyhow. So, I forgot to tell you guys something. And it's kind of funny. I think this might make some of you laugh, those of you who are listening to this program. So, I'm in Great Lakes Crossing, going down a hallway. And I'm going down one of the corridors there, over towards some of the restrooms, and I overhear this guy asking his kid. I forget the kid's name, but I don't know if it was a guy or a girl, but I just know it was a dad talking to his kids, and he said, "Oh, don't you like cookies?" The kid said, "No." And then I heard the dad ask the kid, "Well, don't you want to help me and so-and-so make no big?" I didn't hear the response. I lost track of the dad and his child at that point. I don't know if I turned the corner or if I was by too many other people. I went out into the hallway or went out into the main corridor or something. I didn't hear his response. What do you think he said about the cookie? About Malcolm and make the cookie? Do you think he said no?
I think he said no.
That would be so funny if he actually did.
I know.
That'd be funny if he actually did. I don't know why I had to, for whatever reason, it slipped to the back of my head. I would have heard the kid say no to his dad right there about wanting to make the cookies after saying no about liking the cookies. I would have texted you right there. Because honestly, I thought that was funny. You're not going to hear that every day, week, or a month even, I don't think. There's no way you're gonna hear that. I bet you could be in the biggest city in America, and hardly ever hear it.
Right.
But then you hear it at, you know, a place where there's on any given weekend, at any given time. I don't know. I would say at least like 4,000 people, wouldn't you? Like there's. Like between all the stores and that, there's probably a few thousand people there, and then I happened to hear it, which I thought that was. That's why they say kids sometimes say the funniest things. That makes you wonder. Maybe you got a comedian brewing at your house. Who knows? You know, you don't have kids, but I mean, to these parents, maybe you got a comedian brewing at your house and you don't realize it.
Yeah.
You just, you're just like, remember last I thought that was, you know, kind of funny. And some of those little kids, you know, they're, you know, some of them are a little rambunctious and antsy and that, but at the same time, you have to admire their cuteness. You really, you really do. These little kids, they're so cute. They're so adorable, even if they are a little loud, even if they do get on your nerves once in a while. And I know I'm not a parent. I just know, I was a little kid once. And I know I was cute in that. Did I get on a few people's nerves when I was a little kid? Of course. Did I always intend to? Not always. But that's just how they are. But anywho, I have an update on the horse. So, I received word this morning on the news that maximum security was denied the appeal the same day that the appeal was submitted. They basically said, you know, the decision's final. You know, based on the tape, and they gave another reason, I forget what. Therefore, Country House is the winner of that race. My hope is that Country House will still race in Preakness and then in Belmont. Because maybe then we can have another Triple Crown. Although, here's the thing. There's only been like 8 Triple Crowns or less in the history of horse racing, which has been for like 140, which has been basically for 150 years. So it's kind of hard to, so it still is really hard to get the Triple Crown. No one had gotten the Triple Crown between like the 1970s and 2015. And then last year, someone got it. And I was thinking, you know, maybe we got a chance at a Triple Crown horse, is what I was thinking, what I would have thought Saturday if I would have been watching that race, only to find out. DQ'd, not racing in a couple weeks. And by the way, by DQ, I do not mean, you know, he got a coupon to go get a free ice cream at the mall, Dairy Queen. You know, if you were... if you live by a mall that has it. I used to, and I kind of gave that joke thing because my gym teacher said that once when he was explaining to us middle school kids something about disqualified. You know, this was when we were in middle school, and at that point we still had a DQ here in the local mall. But anyhow... Now, listeners, I want to ask you a favor. And what it is this. I want to ask you to tell those that you know, please tell them about this radio show. Tell them how they can be a part of this radio show. You know, what's the website? How do I call in to speak to the Miracle Man? You know, if I need prayer, how do I call in so that Miracle Man can believe God with me? Well, listeners, as I try to do, every show. I try to tell you every show so that you folks can really have it on your brain. It can also be helpful if you write this down. And I got business cards myself. But what you can tell them what they can do. Now, you already found the show, so you're good there. But you can have them go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, the website is blogtalkradio.com. When you get on the website, you're going to see a search bar. In the search bar, you're going to want to type in Upfront Entertainment. Once again, that is Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, you'll see a link. This link says Living Large. And if you would so kindly go ahead and click on that link, it's the link, the one that says Living Large. After that, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. Go ahead and click on that. Then we have a follow button, which I want you to go ahead and click on. And here's why. When you hit that follow button, something really cool is going to happen. You are going to start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. So maybe at 6 o'clock, 6:15, getting the kids ready for dinner or having dinner with the kids, you get a notification on your smartphone. And it says, Miracle Man's coming live in about 15 minutes. You ready? You know, for a powerful time. And we generally rerun this Monday to Wednesday, so three times a week. And we run this from 6:30 to just about 8 o'clock. Now, the time runs out at 8 o'clock, but sometimes we get done a few minutes before. It all depends on what all the amount of content that I have and what have you. Now, about the online listening, you know, it's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. We have a number also that you can call in to talk to the Miracle Man about generally whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk to me about sports? Do you have a Bible question for me? You want to know why the wood on Noah's Ark had to be a certain way? Well, feel free to call in. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. When you hear the prompt that says press 1 to call into a live show, go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener. My assistant will answer the phone and she'll ask me. I mean, she'll ask you, you know, who you are, where you're calling from, and what have you. And then she'll let me know that we have a caller. I'll say okay. Then we're going to let you on the air. And hopefully we can get some really great, smart callers. I love good callers. I really do. Just Oh, I'm sorry about that, folks. My phone was just being a little weird. I don't know what that was about, because I was just checking the clock. But I now have the time. But we're going to pray, and then we're going to open up our Bible. Tonight, I want to go to Acts chapter 4, and then put a bookmark in Hebrews 11. Acts chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 11, and then, by the way, we're going to read the first two verses of Hebrews 12 as well. So, Acts 4, Hebrews 11. That's going to be what we're going to learn on from the Word tonight. But, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these beautiful listeners. I thank you, Jesus, that you just bless them for tuning in to this radio program. I thank you that you just speak to them, and that you just come alive on the inside of these listeners, Lord, so that they may have an understanding, Lord, of who you are and what you are. Lord, I just thank you that your hand is on their life, and that you just lead them, God. Thank you, Lord God, that they come with ears ready to receive, hearts and minds ready to receive what you have for them. And I thank you, Lord God, that you use me as an oracle tonight, in Jesus' name. Lord, I also thank you, Lord God. I confess over the show that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, whether they be listeners who decide to sow some money, sow some seed, get your seed in the ground, or whatever it may be. I confess over this program right now that increases in listenership are coming to this program. I thank you, Lord God, that finances are coming into this program. And most importantly, Lord, I thank you for souls coming into the kingdom through this program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Now, I just want to make sure to remind you to not just be a spectator. I don't want you to just sit there and be a spectator. I want you to be a part of the show. You know, if I sing a song tonight, you sing. I pray, you pray. You know, I as we study the Bible right now for a little while, you go ahead and study with us. This is how you're going to get the most out of the show, is by being engaged. So, just lock in and be a part of it. Be ready to receive everything that God has for you this evening. Amen, amen. Now, verse 1 of chapter 4. Now, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees. Oh, by the way, they're the sad, you see. They came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Wow. Verse 4. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. Now they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, hallelujah, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people Israel, it is by the name of Annie. Wait a minute, does it say that, Annie?
I
don't think so. Okay, what was it, I think it was by the name of JB.
I don't know.
Nope. See, sometimes, listen, sometimes, every once in a while I have to do that to see whether you guys, to make sure you guys aren't, you listeners aren't falling asleep on me. We're going to try this again. If we are being called by an account today for an act of kindness shown by a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is. By the stone, the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to me by which we must be saved. verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we can't deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. And they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than to obey God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Verse 23 now. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "O sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided by the hand." What should happen? "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. The great power the apostles, with great power, the apostles continued to testify by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Pause a second. You know, just over 2 weeks ago, we had Easter. End pause. And much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Ooh, I like that. He sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11. And I tell you one thing, listeners, I am enjoying this Book of Acts teaching. And I mean it. But we're going to go to what I like to call our text chapter of the Miracle Man Show, which is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to continue on teaching the Word of God. And we're still good on time. I like it when time slows down a little bit. I do. For one thing, it means I still got some time to preach. And by the way, there are two sounds that that pastors and preachers really like to hear. Pages turning and checks being ripped out of checkbooks. Have you ever heard that before, Annie, or no?
No.
Well, Dr. Buckley said that a few times, but you probably never heard it.
Yep, I've kind of been there.
But anyhow, I'm at Hebrews 11. If you're not there, I don't know what your slowpoke's deal is if you weren't there yet. I took my time going there, folks, so I could try to give you guys time to get there. If you beat me, you might have to work on Bible drills or something, folks. But nonetheless, I'm at Hebrews 11, and go ahead and catch up to me. I'm going to begin with verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, the evidence of what we do not see. In other words, by sight, the evidence isn't necessarily seen. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Kind of like what's going to happen to us. You know, when the rapture happens, those of us who haven't died, our natural bodies haven't died yet. He was not, for God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. Hi, James. How you doing? That's good to hear, buddy. Thank you so much. Sorry about that. That, listeners, that is a student I went to middle school and high school with. His name is James. He's a pretty nice dude. He's going. I'm going to go back to verse 9 because I might have lost track. He was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. We're talking about Abraham. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob and Brother Shambach. Okay, I got you there. Now, Brother Shambach didn't exactly live in tents. Oh, he loved doing revival meetings inside those tents, though. He did. Yes, he did. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, Abraham was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God.
Your name is...
Called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. I'm turning the page. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, I don't know what that was about. I didn't get to the Rahab part yet, so I don't know what that was about. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. Yes? Where was it? On the ground where?
Under your bed.
Sorry about that. Okay, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel,
and the prophets,
who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Verse 12. I'm in chapter 12, first two verses of 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. All right. All right. Let's talk about the fourth chapter of Acts. So, what you had going on there in Acts 4 was Peter and Paul were over there at the same place where the man from chapter 3 had been healed. Peter and John, brother Peter and brother John, are over there preaching. You know, like they're having We could say, in a sense, they were having a camp meeting. Only, you know, in the temple. And all Israel knew about it. People were getting saved. People were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And all this awesome stuff was happening. You know, stuff that some people would only dream to have happen. And it was happening right there. But these Sadducees, yes, the Bible says that Sadducees, and it really is Sadducees. They came in there and no one's Peter and John were done preaching, and they got taken from camp meeting to jail. until the next day. But so many people got saved. So many people got filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues. But these Sadducees, these crazy Sadducees, didn't want it to spread any further than Jerusalem. Then they, the next day, you know, the judges came and got him and said, you know, I want to ask you folks, you know, what's going on here? By what name are you doing all this stuff? He said, well, if you're asking about that miracle that happened, that miracle was from God, was through God. That I healed that man, and he began, that man who was lame, and he began to walk. And that man who had been outside begging, then went to camp meeting. Or, I don't know if he was always there at that certain temple every day. That's why I'm just saying camp meeting. Or, maybe it was a revival service of some kind, but regardless, he was in the temple courts. 5,000 people were there. All these people, everybody, pretty much everybody in that audience believed Peter and John. And they clapped and shouted and rejoiced about the word of God. And I imagine some of the people knew God. Some of the people had the Holy Spirit. Something tells me they brought a lot of people with them. Because so many people got filled with the Holy Spirit during that camp meeting crusade. And they were just having a time in the Holy Ghost. Now these Sadducees came to this conclusion. Peter, John, the Sadducees and the judges, the Sadducees and the judges said, Peter, John, we don't want you to speak or preach anymore in the name of Jesus. You can speak and preach, but you can't do it in the name of Jesus. They went back to their hometowns and, you know, told everybody what had happened. And they told them, you know, what all had happened. And then all the believers were all gathered and they were all praying for Peter and John. And then they were relieved when they saw him. They're like, praise God. We found them. See, Sadducees were just trying to persecute Peter and John. They were trying to find a way to stop God. They were trying to find a way to stop the move of the Holy Spirit, to stop that revival, to stop that camp meeting. And it was thousands of years ago. I mean, it was like over 1,000 years ago, almost 2,000. So it's not like we could have found out, you know, was John going to speak the next morning? Was Peter going to speak the next night? And what have you, how long was this thing going to go? We don't know. But miraculous signs were done. And the greatest miracle of all of those people got filled with the Holy Ghost. They got filled with, I'm sure, you know, they gave their altar call. And all these people decided, you know what? I want that. I want that. And I wish people today were as open to the Holy Ghost as people of that day. So they could get into a born-again, spirit-filled, fire-baptized church and decide, you know what? I want that. But people are complacent. They're not hungry. They're not ready. And you know, folks, you know how revival starts? When the people of God truly get hungry for more of God. Us screaming, we want revival, that's not going to start revival. Us being truly hungry and deciding we want more of him, seeking his face diligently, believing God for miracles and everything else, that's when we get revival. That's how we get the anointing level and the power level up. That's how we do that. And Peter and John were just operating on an extremely high anointing. But those Sadducees wanted nothing to do with it. Peter and John were basically like, we don't care. We're going to continue, you know, to do our assignment, to do what we've been told through God. And they just this is why I love the book of Acts, because this is the kind of stuff that happened in it. And towards the last part of that chapter 4, everybody shared everything. I feel like a lot of these people must have really been friendly to each other. They weren't like, oh, I don't want to sit in that section. But there's this person over there in row 6 of section 5 in my church, and they're just real, you know, so mean. I don't want to sit anywhere kneel with them. So I'm going to sit in section one, row 14. Row 12, to be as far away from that person as possible. You know, I don't think that was happening too much at all. Where Paul was, where Peter and John were at that meeting. And those believers at home, at the home base, they shared each other stuff. And one man, Barnabas, he sold a field and gave the money to Peter and John to help them fulfill the ministry, to keep it going. Praise God. And that's what Book of Acts is. All about, and every so often now, I'm going to be talking about another chapter of the Book of Acts. As the Lord leads. But what I want to get to you guys is this. We should be very hungry for God to move. Oh, I'm not talking about hungry in your belly. Mm-mm. No. I'm talking about hungry for a move of God. You know, I got a song that I'm going to sing you folks that I think is going to bring it home. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I long to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. I'm hungry for the move of God. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. I'm hungry for the move of God. Come, Lord, move among us. How we love your presence, Lord. Wind of God, touch me. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. I'm hungry for a move of God. You know, and I just think about this and I go, Lord, I just want to see a move in our bodies, in our minds, in our churches. You know, we just need, we don't want Bozo the Clown and Foo Foo the Dog. We need God to move. That as Christians, we have to come to this place of hunger and a true desire for more of God, less of us. Like those believers where Peter and John were in Acts chapter 4. Lord God, I thank you for this word right now. I thank you that we would all get back to the hunger for God that we had when we first met you, Lord. I thank you that may we be like those believers in Acts chapter 4 that just had such hunger, such zeal for the things of God. And it would get to the point where they didn't care. About those, the criticisms, the persecution. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, by the way, so now for sports, folks, the Tigers start a series tonight at Comerica Park in downtown Detroit to face the Los Angeles Angels, formerly Anaheim Angels, but they've been in Los Angeles for several years now. The Angels seem to be doing pretty good this year. Tigers right now are kind of a little bit of a yo-yo type team. On Saturday night, their pitching was terrible. As they gave up 15 runs. Excuse me, then they win again Sunday. And so I've decided I'm going to make a prediction on the series. My prediction for this series is Lips of an Angel, 2. Eye of the Tiger, 1. I don't think it'll be a sweep by the Angels. I think the Tigers will win one of these. I hope, though, the Tigers will win at least 2. However, I just don't expect it. Because although at times our pitching has been really good, our hitting really needs to improve. It really does. So hopefully we can step it up. Now the forecast is calling for rain tomorrow and Thursday in Detroit, so I'll have to look at the radar. I don't know what that's going to mean. Thursday might have to be a doubleheader. No, Seems like it's going to rain possibly tomorrow morning, maybe quit tomorrow night. So they might be able to get that game in. I don't know about Thursday. Doesn't Thursday look pretty stormy when you've looked at it? Annie, doesn't Thursday look pretty stormy?
Yep.
Pretty much all day, it looks like.
Yep.
All day?
Yep.
I don't know if they're going to get that one in. That one might have to be made up at a later date. And keep in mind, they're coming all the way in from the west. So I don't know what's going to happen there. You might have to come in and do a makeup game. Unless tomorrow night's able to be played. Might have to be a makeup doubleheader for all you know. I do expect that they will get tonight in, though. So, as I said, I think the Tigers will win one of these three games. Basketball. Your Rockets are waking up.
Yes, they are.
But they've kind of had to eke it out both of these last two games, though. So that kind of makes me worried about when they go back to Oakland.
Right.
And of that fan base and that, but I haven't really watched these games yet, but I feel like Houston might be a louder stadium, don't you?
Yeah.
Because they're hungry. Golden State, do you think they've become complacent and too used to it?
Yeah.
Like, is it worse than what Detroit ever was even, do you feel like?
Probably not that bad.
But Detroit never got complacent in the playoff years, though, not really.
No.
You felt like in 07 and 08 they were starting to become a little bit complacent, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, 04 though, that was about as good as it gets though.
Yep.
They were hungry. Do you bet they would have been blowing whistles if fans would have let them? Do you bet they would have been blowing those whistles?
Yeah.
I could have seen them doing that whole whistle thing there, because they were rowdy. Were you ever at a Pistons game?
No. Well, I went to one, but it was not that long ago.
I went to one in 04, and that felt like the floor almost shook.
Oh, my goodness.
Where I was at, way upstairs. I didn't have a cell phone back then, otherwise I would have recorded it. And they just got that loud on its own. And I don't think there was anything on a screen that said make noise or whatever. They played that certain song that says shout or whatever, but then it didn't get that loud until a minute after it. You know, that certain song that sometimes gets played at some of those games.
Yeah.
And then a minute later it got so loud up in that place that it was just insane. You'd have to. But this, notice this was just in March. In March. This wasn't even in June. Oh, if I was there during game five, I bet you for sure that floor would have shook.
Oh, yeah.
Do you bet you would have been coming out and for a few minutes it'd be hard to hear stuff?
Yeah.
Because it would have been because of all the screaming, all the yelling, all the everything else. But Houston, it is not, that series is now tied. Also, you have the McNuggets are tied in their series with the Trailblazers. And then you have the 76ers and Raptors, they're tied up too, aren't they? They're all pretty much everything except for the no, the Celtics won. That one's tied too. Everything's tied. Everything's at least going six games. I'm thinking that's good for ratings.
For sure.
I think you could have at least two or three games. I think you could have at least two game sevens.
Oh yeah, I think Houston's gonna go seven.
They're gonna go seven. I really hope they do, and I hope Houston's able to just take one from the jaws of defeat that wanted to take them out. I really want to see Rockets versus the McNuggets and have Houston put up 140 points at least in all those four games.
Oh, man.
Has anyone put up 140 in four straight games, or do you doubt it?
I don't know. Have to look it up and see.
I bet you know what the 140 is for, one for each McDonald's in Houston. You know, you know, including the far reaches like Fuqua, the ones like near like Nassau Road 1 and what have you, all the way out to like way far out Tomball, because that's about as far across as it goes there to there. You know, like a good 45-mile thing, but nonetheless, that's how big that city is, but. I really hope that they, because I'd like to see the Warriors get knocked out I feel like the Warriors have been there too many times now. Don't get me wrong. I like Draymond Green a lot. You know, he's been good. I liked him when he was at Michigan State. He was good for Saginaw High, the two state. Great state champions. Do you think he's a really good player?
Yeah.
How is his character like? Do you think he has really good character, work ethic, and what have you? And I feel. Do you feel like he's part of what's able to rally these teams to do so good? Even at Michigan State and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what I like about him. I think he could rally Detroit if he came here, I feel like. But he'd need more pieces, but I think he'd do good at rallying them, I feel like. If he were to come back home to Michigan, you know, and to the Pistons. And he... Don't get me wrong, he's really great, and I really enjoy seeing him play. But at the same time, I'm ready for a shakeup. And you already don't have LeBron in there, so the East is pretty much wide open right now.
Yeah.
You could have Philly, you could have Toronto, you could have Milwaukee, or you could have Boston. And as for the West, the way it is right now, who knows? It could go either way. It was looking like the West could have been a sweep. Uh-oh. Is what it was looking like. Thankfully, it's not. But, folks, so until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.